Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I'll start out today like I started out with the kids. Are you physically alive? I don't see anyone slumping over in the pew, so I think you probably are. But how do you know, though? Well, you might answer like they did. You might say, well, I'm talking, I'm breathing, my heart is beating. So what you're saying is that you have tangible evidence that you are alive. Today in James chapter 2, we are being called to see the necessary connection between faith and works. I think oftentimes within the Lutheran Church, we don't even want to approach this topic because we're always talking faith, 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 and we don't want to even bring in works at all. But it's in the Bible here. It's in James chapter 2, and actually it harmonizes with the rest of the Bible, whether we like it or not. So we should understand this properly because it is so very important. And maybe this topic is more important, maybe more so for Lutherans than it is for other people of other denominations. So there is definitely a connection between faith and works. Would Martin Luther agree? He would say, no way. It's all faith alone, correct? Isn't that what he would say? A very important quote here from Martin Luther. He wrote, "We are saved by faith alone." Now that sounds like Luther, doesn't it? But he adds this so. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. In other words, as physical life involves breathing, so faith in Jesus Christ involves the doing of works. Breathing does not make us alive. I don't like breathe and then somehow I make myself alive. So as breathing does not make us alive, but it is vital for all who are alive, so our works do not make us Christians. Our works do not make us Christians, but they are vital for all who are Christians. You know, sometimes people get this idea and they say, you know, I know my life is not what God would want it to be, so I need to fix up my life. I need to do the right works. I need to take certain action. And once I do that, then maybe I could think about coming to a divine service at Bethlehem. Well, that's not the way to think about it. God wants us to know that these are things that He works within us. So first of all, God is like a surgeon, and He goes right to the heart, and He removes our sin. And He takes away that desire for us to live in opposition to Him. And then He unites us to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then we are brand new in Jesus Christ. And now we have a whole new outlook on life. And now life is no longer vanity or meaningless. But now we have lives of meaning, of importance. And we're excited to get up every morning because we have something that God is calling us to do that has even eternal significance. As we continue in James, I want to read this quote here out of the Lutheran Study Bible, and it's helping us to understand that this section in James is different than how we've been looking at faith in James and how much of the Bible looks at the topic of faith. But it is a legitimate way to look at it, a little different perspective, but a perspective that is important for us to have. It says, "To this point," in other words, to this point in James, faith has been viewed positively. Now, in this section that we're beginning today, starting in verse 14 all the way through verse 26, will take us a couple more weeks to get there. But now in this section, James uses someone else's definition of faith. We're going to talk about that in the sermon. Remember we talked about the Greek word tis? And how that means someone or anyone, and how that's always a person who is in need of repentance. So now, James is using that person's definition of faith. Someone who says he has faith, but the problem is, he is someone who is in need of repentance. So it says, James uses someone else's definition of faith, which separates faith or belief in God from faithful living. You can't just say you have faith and then live any old way you want to and be in Christ. It just isn't true. As much as we want it to be true, it just isn't true. The quote goes on to say, first of all, I say, we will discover next week that And then the quote goes on to say, even demons have that kind of faith. We'll come to that in verse 19. So they have faith, but it's not a saving faith. Finally, the quote says, faith is usually used to mean trust, but here James means mere knowledge of a subject. Maybe we could put it like this and say, it's one thing to know about someone, it's another thing to know someone. So I know a little bit about Barack Obama. He's the president of the United States, he lives in the White House, and so on. But I don't know him. If I call the White House and ask for him, he's not going to come to the phone, or at least I'm pretty sure he's not. So I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. So what happens to people is they know something about the things of God. They know something about Jesus, but to know something about these important things, that is not faith. Faith is all about relationship. What did Jesus pray there in John 17? He prayed to God the Father, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is about knowing God, not about knowing about him, but about knowing him. And when we know him, when we have that relationship with him, then from that relationship will be a changed life as to how we speak and how we think and how we live. That's what we're talking about here in James. Getting into part one, I'm talking here about God's questions, and we could also say God's answers. In verse 14, it says, what use? In other words, what benefit, what profit, what advantage is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but does not have works? Is that faith able to save him? It's so interesting when we dig into the Greek here a little bit, because you can see two glaring things that are popping out there, that one you're familiar with a little bit, one you're not. But again, when we come to that word tis, we know that's a person who needs to repent. That's who James is talking about. And then we have something new here that I'll get to in just a moment. Here's the situation again. Someone says he has faith, thus faith in Christ. That's what he is implying. But the problem is he has no works. In other words, he has no tangible evidence of his faith. So the question is, can that faith save him? We could just guess at the answer, couldn't we? Have you ever done that? You had a question, maybe you're in school, it's a test. It's better to guess and leave it blank. You might guess right. So we could just take a guess here, but is it a good idea to guess when it comes to the things of God? No, it's not. But we don't have to guess here, because it's so interesting that when we dig into it a little bit, God has told us the answer. Even though we can't find it by looking in our English Bible, when we dig into the Greek, God has told us the answer. Twice in James chapter 2, verse 14, we have the Greek word, which is simply a two-letter word, and the word is pronounced may. That word isn't, you don't care what it is, if you will, but it's an interrogative particle. But whenever you have that word, it's always looking for a negative answer. So embedded right into the text, we have tis, which is talking about someone who needs to repent, and embedded right into the text is the answer to the two questions. You can find out a little bit more if you look in the block that I put in the worship folder, because that's the word that we're dealing with this week, the word may. So you can find a little bit more there, but let's go back to the original situation. Someone says he has faith, but he has no works. So the question is then, is such faith useful? God gives us the answer and says, no, it is not useful. It is in fact useless. We have a second question, can such faith save? Again, God gives the answer and he says, no, it cannot. God wants us to understand these things are true. The Bible is very clear, we are saved by faith alone. Jesus said in John 6:47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. It's not mentioning anything beyond believing. So we're not saying here you have to believe plus you have to do something else. By no means are we saying that. However, though, when we do have that gift of faith in Jesus Christ, when we know him as our Savior, that is going to show, there is automatically going to be tangible evidence. The Lutheran Study Bible notes, mere intellectual assent is not saving faith, nor does it produce fruit in response to God's gifts. So that would go back to this idea of knowing about Jesus, intellectual assent, but not actually knowing him personally as Savior. Now, we don't use those kinds of terms in the Lutheran Church, do we? We don't go up to people and say, is Jesus your personal Savior? Now, we don't talk like that, but really, though, I mean, we have to personally know him or he's not our Savior. To know about him does not save us. Let's go on to the second part here. We have a real-life example now. How do we make application with what James is talking about? In verse 15, it says, if a brother or sister is without clothing, again here, getting a little bit deeper into it, we're talking about someone who is bare, who is naked, who is uncovered, and in need or lacking daily food. Notice in 16 now, and tis of you, and one of you, and someone of you, and any one of you. Again, we're talking about that person who is in need of repentance. So we already know the answer. We also have the word may in here again, so we already know the answer. God has made it so clear to us here. And one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, but do not, that's where we have the word may, but do not give them the necessities of the body. What use is that? You ever been in a situation where you see someone maybe asking for help, but you're not quite sure, is that person really in need, or is that person kind of trying to, you know, take advantage of me or maybe even steal from me, if you will? Sometimes it's really hard to tell. But if a person is naked with no clothes at all, is that pretty obvious that that person is in need? Or if somehow we knew that that person was like in a remote place and that person had like one cracker to eat and that was all they had for the whole day because there was nowhere else to get food from, would it be pretty obvious that that person needs some help with food? So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a situation where it is completely obvious this person is in need. So the answer then, try to imagine yourself for a moment with no clothes and no food, and then someone sees you and they say to you, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled. Would that make you feel better? What do you think? Would that make you feel better if they said that? Here you are with no clothes and no food. Be warmed and be filled. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. It would almost be like an insult, wouldn't it? It's almost like, don't say anything. Just ignore me rather than say something like that because it wouldn't help at all. God wants us to understand. I mean, that's so glaring, so obvious. So because that is obvious, he wants it to be obvious to us that when we say we have faith, but we have no tangible evidence of that in our lives, that means that that faith is worthless, just like saying to someone, you know, be warmed or be filled, when you do nothing to actually help them to be warmed and be filled. The reality here is, and this is again from the Lutheran Study Bible, mere lip service or empty pious blessings accomplish nothing for those in need, nor do they reflect faith. For all such people who speak of faith but have no works, God is calling them to see that reality and to repent. So again, we're talking about that tis kind of a person, and that pops up. What do we note there? In the book of James, that word pops up 12 times, and in every case, James is identifying someone in need of repentance. If that is you or if that is me, God is calling us to see these things, and by his grace to see them, and by his power to be able to repent and to know that we know Jesus Christ. Part 3, we have the shocking reality. Verse 17, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. We understand that a body that is not breathing is dead. So in a very simple way, in a very similar way, God wants us to understand that faith without works is dead. The one is simple. Sometimes people try to explain away the other one. And God wants us to be truthful with his word. Again, going back to our first reading, it says in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Again, we have a question, and again, we know the answer. God's love does not abide in such a person. He can say all day, God's love abides in me. He can say all day, I have faith in Jesus. But if he sees someone in need and he does not take action according to the way in which God has equipped him to take action, then we know that God's love truly does not remain or abide or continue in him. These are not complicated things, but I think they're maybe a little bit shocking for us to hear sometimes as Lutherans. But they're important things, though, and I pray that God will work them in our lives in a wonderful way. So let me conclude like this. Let's understand that works do not save. Let's also understand that faith plus works do not save. Because in both cases, we are either fully denying or with faith plus works, we are at least partially denying the all-sufficient work of Jesus Christ. So instead, faith alone in Jesus saves, then from such faith will flow good works. The works never save, but they reveal the faith that God has given us in Jesus. Let's go ahead and conclude by taking a look at the questions that we have in the worship folder today. Question number one, what is more important, what we believe to be true or what God says in his word to be true? What is it, A or B? Okay, letter B, that's pretty easy. Now, that seems easy to us, but I met a gentleman last week and he did not want to hear what the Bible said. And he basically said, that's just one book of many books in the world. And just kind of wanted to say, that's not important. Really what he said to me is, what's important is what I believe right here and what I think right here. Those are the things that are important to me. I'm not concerned with some book. That was like such a sad thing to hear. God wants us to know that his holy word, boy, it is just, if we had to get rid of almost virtually everything in the world, this is the thing we would want to keep. This is how we know that there is a God who loves us. This is how we know that God is a creator. This is how we know that we are sinners. This is how we know that God loves us in that he sent his son to take away our sins. This is how we know there is an eternity after we die and leave this world because of what's in this book. Without this book, we are completely guessing on everything, and I bet, as sinful human beings, we would guess wrong. God wants us to know how valuable this is, so anytime there's a conflict between what the Word of God says and what you're thinking and believing, boy, by all means, let us push aside what we think and believe, and let us cling to God's holy Word. Number two, as breathing is vital for all who are alive, so blank are vital for all who are Christians. So you have a hint there. I didn't use the word is, but I used the word are. So we're talking about something in the plural, right? So what am I looking for? Our works. Okay. So works are vital for all who are Christians, but let us never add them to our faith. They are the evidence of our faith, but we do not add them to our faith. Faith alone in Christ, what he did, that is fully sufficient for our salvation. Number three, how are people saved? Letter A, through their good works. Letter B, through their faith in Jesus plus their good works. Or letter C, through their faith in Jesus. So A, B, or C? Okay, letter C. So we should know that very well. Again, I have encountered so many people that are active in attending various congregations, not necessarily Lutheran, but I'm sure there are Lutherans in the bunch too, but they just do not know that answer. Let us know that the Bible very clearly teaches letter C. If you're not quite sure, let's talk about it further. Finally, with number four, as a healthy fruit tree has fruit, so healthy Christians have. Well, what I was looking for was not, how can I put this, not the F word, but the W word, works. So think about it like this. When you look at a fruit tree, you can, if the tree is healthy, you can see the fruit. So when you look at a Christian, you can't see the faith, but you can see the works. So I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. So these are tangible things that we can see going on in a person's life. Make sense? Please join me in praying the prayer together. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, you have saved us through Jesus. Now, in response, may our daily lives show forth the fact that we are your forgiven children. Amen. Would you please arise?